B-Pod Studios.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
Casper!
Hey, Murray.
I mean, it's hard to make any comparisons at this stage, you know, of anything. It's really hard because, you know, you just have an appreciation of where you were at that time and the amount of experience that was garnered, you know, throughout the series and throughout the playoffs and each of the runs. And as we, you know, look at our run right now and what we're in, you know, staying present, you know, it's hard to bring back that emotion to it because, you know, I think that the difference in level is just the experience.
All right, so there's the mercurial one. After game four, when the Celtics were trailing in the series 3-1, it's Kyrie Irving, and he was asked, hey, you know, you've been in this situation before with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you were able to come back against the Golden State Warriors
in the finals.
Yeah, is there a difference here? It's Casper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. And this quote from him stood out. Why, Chris?
Yeah, because I think here they're saying basically you have the experience as a leader to be able to impart to this team what it takes to come back from 3-1. And he's like, no, this is a different situation. And then he starts sort of wistfully talking about what it was like and the appreciation for, you know, being on the Cavaliers and having that happen. And then when he gets to the end of it, what's he talking about with this team? He's talking about it's just the basketball knowledge. The difference level is just the experience. Those are thinly veiled shots at his teammates.
And that's what he has done all year long.
He did not believe. So even if if they bring him back, I think the group around him has to change a little bit.
Well, if you're Al Horford and you're at this point in your career, you're chasing a ring, and now he has the player option, if you found him to be a pill and a giant pain in the ass, and again, the fancy word for all that, mercurial, don't you opt out? Like, and he'd be a perfect fit. We said this on Felger and Maz yesterday. That's a guy that would be a perfect fit with the Golden State Warriors.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know, but even if I just hear that Kyrie's going to be back, I'm like, all right, deuce is in the air. I'm out. Like, I'm not dealing with this crap again because he really has to be. I can't wait for the true hit piece. Things are starting to leak out. But boy, he just must be a giant pain in the ass behind the scenes. If you're a young guy, and granted, I've said this for a while now, too. If you're Brown, Tatum, especially Terry Rozier, overrate yourself more, you bum. If those guys needed to check themselves, too. I think they kind of
They
got big heads for their run last year, and I can understand somewhat that when Kyrie comes back this year, some of those guys being like, dude, shut up. Like, we got to Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals without you last year.
Yeah.
But they also needed to check themselves a bit, too. But look, what it really comes down to and what makes this all infuriating is this really just this awful season and this destructive end on Wednesday night and whatever's going to happen this summer, which also feels like it's going to be a destruction of the Celtics, it's all because of attitudes. Attitudes. That's it.
Personality conflicts.
Right. All a bunch of bitches. Like, that's all it really came down to. That's why it's over. That's why it ended the way that it did. And it's kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it is kind of unbelievable.
But that's that league.
But it trended this way all year long. And again, I'll go back to what I said when we started the show. I think some of it was predictable, not by us, but by the Celtics, by Danny Ainge. They know their players. They know the personalities of some of those guys. And I think that the approach of the front office was just sort of, well, we're just going to get as much talent as we can, and like Brad will figure it out. He'll meld them into a team. And you had these inherent conflicts in the team, like too many guys that play the same position, personality conflicts, guys that don't want to be role players that are going to have to be role players, 9 guys who think they're NBA starters when you can only start 5 guys. Like, you had all of these inherent conflicts, and they just sort of looked the other way and said, well, you know, talent will overcome all that, and, you know, Brad will figure it out. And that's not what happened. It ended up completely submarining the entire season.
Yeah, it really did. McCone, you've been kind of out on the Celtics for quite some time, although you did buy in after that one game against Milwaukee. I feel like that guy did stupidly.
Yeah.
I feel as dumb as you do. But what do you want to see happen this offseason? Do you want him back?
No, absolutely not. And look, I understand like the cap ramifications and that just because he walks, that means that you're not going to have an open slot. Like, it's not going to be a one-for-one trade. But honestly, if he's going to be the leader of your franchise, I think you saw it this year, you're not going to win a championship with him as a leader. And I don't think you're going to win with this group, which means you're going to have to go out and make a deal. And if you make a deal for Anthony Davis, even though he's more talented than him, you saw what he did this year, right? He's with the team for 7 years. He has more than a year left on his contract. He quits on his team. And then the last game of the season, he wears the That's All Folks shirt. Yeah. And then gets asked about it and says, I don't dress myself. Like, that's going to be the leader of your franchise? I don't think those two are going to take you to a championship either. So just move. It sucks, and it didn't work out. But I think you move on, and you build around Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and you go from there.
See, here's my thing on that. I hear what you're saying, McComb. But one, you know, I like Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But if there's one fan base in this town that tends to grossly overrate its players, it's the Celtics.
Totally
fan base.
Fair.
And so, again, I mean, same group of people that thought, like, you know, Al Jefferson was going to be the next Kevin McHale. I mean, the guy had a nice career, but there's no guarantee that, you know, I thought Tatum was being overrated last year. I think he'll be a nice player. He'll probably be an all-star, but he might be, like, more Chris Middleton than Paul Pierce at the end of the day. And I'm a huge Jaylen Brown fan, but there's no guarantees with that. The other thing is, I think if you had Anthony Davis and Kyrie, like, to me, that's the play. I just don't know how you do it. It's like a delicate dance because it's like you have to let AD know that Kyrie's going to stay, but you have to let Kyrie know that AD's coming. But I think if you had those two guys, I think Kyrie is a 1 or 1A, and if he could share that burden of being the best player with somebody else, somebody like Davis that he gets along with, I think that could work.
Just the him coming in too and not having the long-term extension scares me because he, like Kyrie, in a lot of ways, I'm not sure it's a slam dunk that he would re-sign with Boston, even if you were successful.
Yeah, it's true. You're rolling the dice. But I'll say this, you know, like Kyrie deserves a lot of the criticism he's got. No question about it. And we talk about him being self-centered and selfish and he wants it to be all about him. But his introductory press conference, he wanted Gordon Hayward there. He sat next to Gordon Hayward. He talked about, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I think he came here thinking, I'm going to have a legitimate running mate. And then obviously that didn't happen because of the injury. And so I think if you get this guy real role players, like guys that are willing to be role players and a legitimate running mate of some sort, I think you can make it work with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he needs to have a peer that he truly respects from a basketball standpoint. And he had that with Hayward, but because of the injury, that goes sideways and that affected his
attitude. How positive was he on Gordon Hayward for a good chunk of the year?
Like, look at that clip when they're both sitting there. Kyrie looks like he's aged like Obama did. He really looks like a different guy since that point. I saw it the other day. I was like, Jesus, he looks like 7 years younger. That's just a couple of years
ago.
That's
just the Uncle Drew makeup, actually.
Yeah.
You're just wearing it now.
I forgot about the Anthony Davis thing with the That's All Folks and I Don't Dress Myself. Can you imagine the horror, Chris? I don't dress myself. Imagine what your wife would put out for you.
It doesn't sound that bad.
I have a personal shopper now, Daddy. Let's get the perspective from a Celtic season ticket holder, shall we? Vicky, do you want Kyrie Irving back at this point?
You know, I would love to have him back along with Anthony Davis if that was the plan. However, from my perspective, I really think that the organization should be ashamed of themselves for the whole season and then also how this playoffs run turned out, because it was just disgraceful from beginning to end. And like you had said earlier, Murray, that it was all about attitude. They really didn't show up and it was so inconsistent, and they didn't take the fan base into consideration about how awful it was game to game watching this pathetic team disintegrate before our eyes. And then the organization has the nerve to increase ticket charges, to expand, and then we have to hear about, oh, it's only the playoffs that matter, when to the season ticket holders, yes, we want a championship, but we also want good games throughout the entire season, and that's not the product that we received when the talent is actually there. It's just that their attitudes and their inability to accept their role and their, you know, their everything else got in the way of being productive. We had such a great time last year watching this game grit in and, you know, have fun playing through challenges. And yeah, they didn't make it very far, but at least every night we had a fun game to watch. And that was so disappointing this year. And I'm so dissatisfied with how this whole entire season played itself out.
Thanks for the call, Vicky. It's a good way to put it, too, in terms of the, again, it comes to the likability, and it's frustrating because you know the talent's there, and the whole thing fell apart because of infighting and attitudes and guys, you know, there wasn't, the hierarchy wasn't set by the coach. It was a completely different feel, though. I'll tell you, just from my perspective and going, mm-hmm. you know, because the lady loves the Celtics. When Kyrie got here, she was pumped. Allen Iverson was her favorite player. We went to a ton of games last year.
What was the perspective of the folks in the luxury box and the front row seats?
We tapped out. We tapped out around February-ish. Like, we had opportunities to go to other games, and I was like, I'm good. Because you go to some of these games, and they get, like, killed by the Knicks around Thanksgiving, the home loss to Orlando. They lose to Phoenix. Like, they were complete, like, blech, like disgusting. I remember one of the games I went to earlier in the season. They got blown out by Utah at home. I was like, what is this? It was an awful experience many nights for many of these fans. So Vicky's right. You're right to be pissed. And that's the thing. Like, so do you want Kyrie back if you're still going to maybe have to deal with a level of bitchiness? And, you know, some nights you show up and you're paying $50 to park, a couple of $100 to eat, and you're sitting there, you bring the kids and they're losing to, you know, Charlotte or something like that. Like, you're like, what am I doing here? I thought you were building something, and you get this wiped out in five games by the Milwaukee Bucks. Kyrie Irving, your supposed best player, gets progressively worse, shoots over just a hair over 30% in those four games, and then sits there minutes after game five ends and says, now's not the time to be disappointed.
Yeah, that one was bad.
I've got more basketball to watch. The playoffs go on. Doesn't matter if we're not there. I'm still watching. I'm interested in watching the Bucks. Oh, blech. Oh, what puke. So does this now mean Kyrie Irving's gone? And how about the growing rumors that he's not just going to go and leave? He's going to go and join Daddy again. He'll go play with LeBron James and the Lakers. I'm telling you, this thing's picking up steam. We'll play more sound to this, proving just that, right after these here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's the quote, Jeff Goodman of Stadium reporting a Celtics player telling him, quote, he's hard to play with. It's all about him.
I don't know if he's all about him, but he's definitely hard to play with. He's definitely a personality that is difficult to learn how to be with. The irony is one of the reasons why he went to the Celtics, one of the reasons why he wanted to leave Cleveland, was because LeBron was like this, very difficult to play with. As we go on here, I see this. I really honestly believe that Kyrie and LeBron, the way things are going, kind of need each other. And both of their situations are sort of deteriorating. Both of their options are getting a little bit narrower. I really think that the Lakers should make a hard move for Kyrie Irving in this offseason. And even though you would never think that they could play together again, I think that this season especially, the best laid plans of mice and men and free agents and Kyrie and LeBron leaving Cleveland. And frankly, Ty Lue and Kyrie did not leave it on good terms. And okay. If it's a different coach right. with the Lakers, especially if it's Jay Kidd, let's point out that Kyrie grew up in New Jersey. Jay Kidd was starring. He has a great respect for Jay Kidd. He's a point guard whisperer. If the Lakers go with Jason Kidd, that's potentially even more attractive to Kyrie Irving. So I honestly believe that Kyrie is difficult to project, but the way this season has ended, I would definitely be calling him on July 1st.
Ask me July 1st.
Imagine that. So more sound that proves that the rumors of Kyrie Irving leaving the Celtics this summer to rejoin Daddy, LeBron James, and become an L.A. Laker. That was Brian Windhorst, who essentially is LeBron James' portly PR man. Nobody perhaps closer in the league that knows LeBron James like Brian Windhorst. That was on The Jump yesterday with Rachel Nichols on ESPN. He's putting that out there. And again, Ty Lue, who was talking with the Lakers this week, and funny, all of a sudden those talks broke off. Why? As you just hear Brian Windhorst allude to there, the relationship between Ty Lue and Kyrie Irving, not great. So I wonder why that's why he didn't end up taking that job. Just something to consider. And we played sound earlier from one of the guys that covers the Lakers for the LA Times on with
Colin
Cowherd saying, yeah, it that might be the best fit. Like, the divorce was ugly, but there's been a thaw. Remember, I had to call Braun, said Kyrie Irving, midway through the season. So there's been a thaw there. Maybe they need each other, like Brian Windhorst just alluded to there, and that's where he goes this summer. Can you imagine that?
Oh, if he left the Celtics for the Los Angeles Lakers, can you imagine that?
Like spitting in every collective Celtics fan's
face. Like turning your back on the Celtics to go to the Lakers. Oh, man.
Now, it might be, in terms of, like, if you want to boo him, you wouldn't have as much of an opportunity if he went there rather than the Knicks. Either way, it's going to hurt and sting because after everything that happened this season, and again, before the season even started, sitting in front of or standing in front of all the season ticket holders saying, hey, if you'll have me back, my plan is to be here. And you didn't believe it at the time. Kudos
to
you.
No, I was like, no, let's see how the season plays out.
But to go to the Lakers, oh, what a double cross. And after all that he said about LeBron and wanting to get up from, you know, from beneath, away from his shadow, rather, to go back to him because they need each other. Oh, it would be so perfect for everything that happens in that league.
So, one, it seems like you think this is going to happen.
I do.
Just listening to Windhorse, it seems like he knows more. Like, just reading between the lines, like the way he was couching things, I think he knows more than he said there.
He's LeBron's PR guy. That's all he's ever been for ESPN. That's what
I mean, he's a good reporter.
I know,
he's connected with other people.
But he's connected.
But yeah, LeBron's his meal ticket. Nobody denies that. I don't even think Brian denies that.
And so a lot of this has started to pick up steam. And we heard on Felger and Maz from executive producer Jimmy Stewart, who, don't doubt his sources with the Celtics, he had heard that Kyrie Irving had, and I'm just going to use his words here, had called a certain former teammate almost immediately after Game 5 to check in with that teammate, to tell this unnamed teammate, hey, I might have made a mistake here. How's it look over there in that certain area with that certain team? Huh. So since that point, this has started to pick up steam here. Brian Windhorst, again, the portly PR guy for LeBron James. And we hear from Colin Cowherd and him talking to, Arash Markazi of the LA Times, who covers the Lakers. Yeah, this could happen. Starting to pick up steam. Kyrie to the Lakers. How's that make you feel?
how about this, though? Even so, just to take Jimmy's thing quickly before we go to the phones, just even if it's, let's say, that teammate is, you know, not LeBron, that former, whatever, I might have made a mistake here, and he's talking about the Celtics. How does that make you feel, Celtics fans? I might have made a mistake here.
Right. Even if he's making a call to Iman Shumpert.
Exactly.
You know, I might have made a mistake here. That's a tough pill to swallow, right? Your thoughts on Kyrie, where the Celtics go from here? 617-779-0985. Kenny G in Atlanta. Can't say I've always enjoyed your works musically, but we appreciate your phone call.
Oh, I love y'all guys. Listen, this is what I'm going to say real quick. Tatum's not an alpha, so I'm good with him being gone. I want Kyrie back because I think talent trumps all in the, in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I want Anthony Davis. I want like an Anthony Davis, Kyrie. I want them then to probably pick up like a Rondo with Anthony Davis, like, and I think that's good. They need a veteran team, and you know what's being downplayed? That draft lottery. That's humongous. Can you imagine somehow the Lakers end up getting a top pick? Oh, that's humongous. So I just want to hear y'all talk about that, and go for it. Because I love y'all. I'm hoping Kyle Rudolph is traded to the Patriots, changing the thing there, but I want Kyrie back because talent trumps all, okay?
Thanks, Kenny. And I know that Chris agrees with you.
I do.
Probably Danny Ainge, too, because he is right. Like in the NBA, as in most sports, but especially in the NBA, talent does trump the trouble. But, boy, this guy's a lot of trouble. What are the lottery odds for the Lakers in that? I hadn't really even considered them because it feels like it's either going to be Atlanta or the Knicks mathematically that end up with that number one pick.
Yeah, I'd have to look up the odds. I mean, their odds are not great, but I mean, this does with Williamson, this is a real opportunity here for the NBA to sort of, you know, change the landscape of the league. So, you know, it does sort of feel like the Knicks or the Lakers or somebody like that is going to end up somehow winning this thing. You know how it goes. I also saw ESPN. They showed the video of the 85 lottery with Patrick Ewing, you know, the Knicks
with
winning
the frozen envelope.
Yeah, so that might be a little bit of portending what's going to happen here.
What do you have? Did you find it, Tim?
Yeah, so it's different lottery odds this year because
Correct.
They changed it.
The first three teams all have the same odds.
Yeah, so New York, Cleveland, Phoenix all have 14%. The Lakers have a 2% chance.
Oh, yeah, so it's minuscule.
But remember the year, like, I mean, again, it's a different
when Cleveland.
Cleveland won it, yeah.
Yeah, or Orlando won it back-to-back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, look, I'm just saying, the Zion Williamson thing's really interesting, whoever gets that pick. I just want to say quickly, too, off Kenny's call, he mentioned alpha. That was another thing I wanted to say about the Celtics and why they imploded. Too many guys with alpha attitudes, you know, who are not alphas. Like, you know, Marcus Morris, alpha attitude. Great player, played his butt off, appreciate him, like having him on the team, but can't have an alpha attitude. Same would go for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier. You can't have guys with alpha attitudes who are not alpha players.
Well, Terry Rozier, what did he say in his exit interview? Nobody sacrificed like I did.
Nobody sacrificed
year.
More than me.
Oh, get out of here, bum. Yeah, who are you to say something like that, please? Kevin in Southie on the lottery odds. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Just want to tag on to a little bit of the lottery talk. So I believe the selections come out on Tuesday night. The Celtics have interest in both the Sacramento pick and the Memphis pick. I guess my question is, what's the best case scenario on Tuesday night? What's the worst case scenario, and what's the most likely scenario?
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, let's discuss the porking of the ping pong balls, eh?
Well, I'd say, you know, worst case scenario is that the Kings stay where they are, and I believe that they are like 14th, right? They were the team with the best record that did not make the playoffs,
yes,
correct? Yep. So they stay at 14th, and then the Memphis pick, which only conveys to you if it's 9 and or higher, so 9, 10, 11, 12 when I say or higher, that conveys to you too, because that pick actually has more value moving forward. It's unprotected in 2021. It's top 6 protected next year. And what I think, by the way, I think this is a weak draft other than at the top with John Morant and Zion Williamson. So overall, and RJ Barrett, I think this is a weak draft. So like 9 in this draft to me is not great. That would also give you 4 first-round picks. In this, like, what are you going to do with 4 first round picks if the picks are 9, 14, 20, and 22? Like, this is not the NFL. Like, those picks don't have real value. It's about the players. You're not going to trade those 4 picks and move up and draft Zion Williamson. That's not the way the NBA works. So, that's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario is the Memphis pick doesn't convey. Sacramento wins, but only moves up to like 2. You know, that's like best case scenario. Most likely scenario, I think, is that you end up with 3 first round picks, 14, 20, 22. The Memphis thing, they stay where they are. They're in the top 8, and you have that pick moving forward to flip to try and get Anthony Davis. And it actually has more value because you can project it to New Orleans and say, this is going to be either the 7th pick next year in a better draft, or you know what? It will be unprotected in 2021. It could be the number 1 overall pick.
Yeah, that was a long way of you saying what I have felt. Like, they're going to end up with picks between 10 and 20, and they'll be worthless.
Yeah.
So that's why I haven't really wasted any time with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was much better, Jim.
Nick in New Hampshire on Kyrie Irving. Hello, Nick.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
So I'm going to call and just bash on Kyrie the whole time, but I have a new take. So with Kyrie, who's definitely going to L.A., is he committing? I didn't think it was possible to do something worse than what Kevin Durant did in sports. You know, it's one of those cardinal sins, an unwritten rule, something you just don't do. But, I mean, Kyrie winded his way out of Cleveland to get his own team, be his own leader, got anything he wanted, everything and anything he wanted in Boston, and completely screwed the pooch. Sucks. And now he's going to run back to LeBron. Is that worse than what Kevin Durant did?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think it's worse, but I'm not as down on what Kevin Durant did as you all are.
I look at it and say, you know. Yeah, I never really saw that big of a deal. For a guy that was frustrated and even had a good running mate in Russell Westbrook and realized, look, I've tapped out here. I can't do this. For him to chase a ring, because I do think that the basketball aspect is truly the most important thing to Kevin Durant, I never damned him for it. I don't know. If you feel like you're on a sinking ship, start putting onions in the ceiling and get the hell out of Dodge, like I did at WFNX. Like, you know, you got to go to a better spot. I don't know. I'm never going to damn a guy for that. You know, life's short. No, what I think Irving does if he goes and rejoins LeBron after all that was said, that's way worse. Oh, if you missed the sound from Arash Merkazi, who covers the Lakers for the LA Times. He was on with Colin Cowherd of FS1. We'll play that too, because again, this is starting to pick up steam. We'll do that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone. Not a great start for the Red Sox today. He'll get you caught up with that, and then we'll play that sound and get to you here on Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gaspar of the Globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, so we wrap up the show each and every week, as long as we have the time. 5 questions for Chris Gaspar that have nothing to do with sports. Gaspar Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. Question number 1, Chris. Mother's Day is tomorrow. If one actress could play your mom in a movie, who would that actress be?
Alfrey Woodard. Or is it Woodward?
I don't know. I don't know if I know who you're talking about. What has she played? What has she
She's been in a number of things. She's, you would definitely recognize her. I'm trying to think, like, one of the things that she's been in most recently. But I think that would be a good one.
Look it up real quick.
Look it up real quick.
Look it up, Murray. What's the name again?
Alfrey. I think it's Woodward.
Woodard.
Woodard. Yeah. I said Woodard the first time.
Oh, I know who you're talking about here. Yeah. Okay. She was in, I'm trying to look at the IMDb, Star Trek, First Contact, she was in K-Pax, Captain America, Civil War, Lion King. Okay, all right, I know what you're talking about. Very nice. You know, if I see younger pictures of my mom, she had a young Natalie Wood thing going on before she was drowned to death by Christopher Walken and Robert Wagner,
yeah,
allegedly. So, yeah, it would be Natalie Wood, but, you know, she's...
Well, dead. We're talking about, like, younger days. I would say, like, Diana Ross.
Oh, yes.
Which my mom will hate.
Question number two. Chris, you'll like this. A luxury shopping website called Hush Hush is seeking a luxury yacht tester. You basically review yachts before they're listed for sale on the site. The only requirements are you've got to be 21 years old or older.
Yeah.
You have a valid passport and be available on short notice throughout the year. If you got the job, you would live, eat, and sleep on the yacht for a week, checking out every bed, shower, tap, door, go on and on and on.
Uh-huh.
You could be reviewing up to 50 yachts per year. The job pays around $93,000 annually.
That's it.
Would you take this job?
No.
Oh, boo! Come on.
No, I don't.
Living that high life on the seas.
I don't really like boats and water, and that's not my.
Do you get the seasickness?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I that would not really be my deal there.
I would take that job tonight. I don't even think that's a decent amount of money. $93,000 for that? Oh, I would do that. Question number three. It was reported yesterday that many Party City locations will be closing due to a national helium shortage. This is a real thing. It's a real thing. That helium, we're running out of helium, so a lot of Party Cities are going to go out of business. If there were helium balloons left over after a party or event, nowadays or when you were younger, did you ever suck it in and start talking because it makes you sound funny?
No, I never actually did that. My voice is already high enough, so I didn't need to.
Not once? Never?
Never did that.
Oh, it's so fun. Now that there's going to be a helium shortage, we're never going to get to have that fun again where you get to talk like this. Question number four, Chris. 2% of Americans have never eaten a taco. It's a small number, but in the greater scheme of things, when you think of all of America, it's kind of a big number. What is something that you have never eaten that most people have?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question.
Chicken fingers, hamburgers, fries,
no, I've eaten all that stuff. You know, I've never had Nutella because I'm allergic to hazelnuts.
I feel like you're not missing much. There might not be a more overrated food stuff than Nutella.
People rave about it. People who like it really like it, Jim.
Yeah, it's like ladies and avocados, and like we get it.
They say you can put it on anything.
It's fine-ish. It's so overrated. And there's nothing for me because I've literally eaten everything because I'm a fat kid at heart. Final question as we wrap up the show today. What is the most you ever paid or traded for a baseball card?
Ooh, I bought the entire set of, remember Skybox? Skybox, when there was a new card company and they came out and they first had NBA cards. I bought like the entire, like I think it was 1990 was the first year. And it was like the entire set was like $100-something. It was the inaugral year.
What year are we talking about here?
89 or 90, somewhere in there.
I should know this because this was the heart of my nerdy baseball
card. Yeah, Skybox. Spelled just like, you know, Skybox. It was like a new card company. And I was like, oh, this is new. Like, I'm going to get this. And I went walked down to the local, you know, card shop there in Lynn, and I bought the entire set of the inaugural set of Skybox cards.
So these were like NBA cards. I'm looking these up. Yeah. Oh, so here's the. Oh my God. So was it Fleer thing? No, this wasn't Fleer. It was Skybox.
Skybox
trading cards, and they're much like everything from that era are
worthless.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Boy, and that's one of the things that you learn here is if you're around our age, like mid 30s to 40s, and you collected cards from that time in the 80s, early 90s. Every one of our parents at the time said, hold on to these. They're going to be a great investment.
Yeah.
And now they're worth crap. What a scam. Read about Upper Deck in the Ken Griffey Jr. card, which is arguably one of the top 3 to 5 most famous baseball cards in the history of the medium. It's the 52 Topps mantle. It's the Honest Wagner T206. And I think you could put that Griffey rookie from the Upper Deck set. Those scumbags were actually, they were printing sheets and sheets and sheets and sheets. All these extras of it. And they drove up the market. Because you remember, in like 89, the 89 Upper Deck, that thing was worth $100-$150 mint. And at that time, who knows what that is with inflation. But that was a mountain of money when you were that age. And they purposely didn't put them in, you know, tons and tons of packs. And they were selling those sheets to dealers, or they were like cutting them up and selling them to dealers. Like the whole thing was inflated.
Oh,
there's books about it. There's documentaries about it. The whole thing was a scam, and it all collapsed. The baseball card industry in the 80s and early 90s. Wow, what a scam that whole thing was. The card that I will always remember, though, the 88 Billy Ripken F face card, and it said F face on the bottom of it. It was an error, and then they
That's right.
I got that in a pack at a baseball card show with my dad in that summer of 88. And it's the most important I will ever feel in my entire life, Chris. I got immediately like bees to honey I had all these nerds and grown-ass men surrounding me, be like, because I go, I got a Ripken. You know, I'm like 15 or whatever the hell I was in 88, 12.
Okay.
And my dad looked at me so angrily. He goes, you're not selling it. I mean, people were throwing themselves at me. There was the one time in my life, I was like, this is what it feels
not
like to be.
Not the one time in your life. Every time you go out to a bar and guys want to talk sports, yeah. It's the same thing.
But this was like, I know what it feels like to be like a hot. Like, this is, must, yeah. You know, like if yeah. You're Gronk's girlfriend, this is must be what like life is like.
Camille Kostek?
Yeah. I'm holding the card. I have guys like, it's like on the trading floor at the New York Stock Exchange. I'll give you two, I'm serious, 200, 300 numbers that are blowing my 12-year-old mind. Yeah. And my dad says,
you're like, how many USS flags could I buy with this?
You're not selling it. You're not selling it. That's going to go to your college fund. Like dad talk, right? And I'm like, $400? Like, there's a guy that wants to give me $400 for this. You're not selling it. That thing's worth $2 now.
What?
So, it's worthless. Oh, like all of those cards from that era. But I remember that feeling. I was like, ooh, like that. Oh, it was such excitement.
You know what's funny? I don't even know where those Skybox cards are. Like, for a while, like, my dad kept them in this big bureau we had because he was like, you got to keep them dry and cool. And, like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing.
Worthless.
It's like, I have no idea where those cards are. Somewhere there's, like, a great Skybox Sean Kemp card. But the reality is it's worth nothing.
They're all worthless. And so concludes the show for today. I want to thank Tim McCone, who's joined us and also gave you the Sports Hub headlines today, and Brian Robb, who produced the show. Read his continuing Celtics fallout at bostonsportsjournal.com. Look at this.
Yep.
It's an Adam Jones operation coming in here this afternoon.
Dark Knight.
I'll tell you what, if you had me in Beckett right now, you had a Jones card in Beckett, the arrow would be going squarely down with me here on a Saturday afternoon. No better feeling, though, with the arrow up. You're like, you go through, yeah. You got your card in the case, maybe a double case, like a soft case and
yes,
then a hard case.
The double case.
Maybe
good.
You double up just to really protect it.
Just real quick, though, on the
and then
Beckett,
you scroll through and you're like, oh, the arrow's going up. You're like, we're going places.
But to think about it now as adults, and you're more rational when you think about it, like, who was policing the police? Who set those standards? Who says that it was going up in price? Like,
was Beckett monthly?
Yeah, it was the Beckett monthly.
It was monthly.
So who was
it's not
to
like
say?
It came out every week.
Like, the whole thing was one big scam. Like, yeah. All those cards were pumped up by, like, this false industry.
What could we do to run our own scam? Like, what could I do for a magazine now to really scam everyone?
I don't know. Like, talking about like sports for a living is a pretty good scam, yeah. Guys.
It like really is.
Like a Beckett,
what a
like
racket.
Like a Beckett scam. What yeah. Can I do there? Anyway, we got plenty on the, the Celtics crapping their pants. And the Bruins, congratulations on going to the Stanley Cup because the Eastern Conference Finals are over. I'm not wasting my time with the Hurricanes.
I hate Paul Pierce.
I heard you declare this yesterday. Yeah. You think that that's it? That was their best chance, game one.
Enjoy the fan fest tomorrow. It's going to be the highlight. The Hurricanes are a big waste of time.
All right, Jones coming up next. You want to get on with him, 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you Monday with Felger Mazza, too. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.